Well, we're very pleased today on this June morning to ask Deacon Sullivan to open us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the new month of June as we slide into summer, Lord. I ask that you continue to guide us and send the Holy Spirit today to educate us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, this first song we're going to do today, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. You'll notice on your song sheets is Petra lyrics. And I have to tell a story about Petra, the group Petra. And Petra, actually, the name actually indicates the rock. And I remember John Schlitt, who was the lead singer for Petra at the time. First time I heard the music of Petra, I thought it was much too rock and roll type for Christian music. And then I started to listen to, I got an album because my kids convinced me that I would like Petra and I'd like the songs that they were doing. So I got a Petra album and I looked at all the lyrics and I said, yeah, I do like this. I like this, the lyrics. I like the song, even though it did have the upbeat to it. And it was interesting too, because shortly thereafter, Billy Graham was having a crusade, and of course they're trying to reach out to younger people. And so I think it was his son Franklin that said to him, you know, we ought to try to get some of these groups that the young people are liking, the Newsboys and Petra and so forth and so on. And he goes, what? And so he listened to some of the songs. And of course, he being as old as he was, wasn't keen on the beat. But he said, you know what? In listening to the lyrics or reading the lyrics, these people have great lyrics and they have to be getting those from the Lord. So that's my little preamble on this song here. Let's start it off. Get it on the right key here. Okay. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Okay, let's do it again. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Good. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's sing it again. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Okay, folks, you don't have to be too timid. Just remember, we're singing as unto the Lord, and He's not nearly as critical of our singing as maybe other people are, as I always say. You know, we're not trying out for the choir that we'll probably be eliminated from or something like that. We're singing it out to the Lord, and those words are so great, and what a great testimony, right? You know, that the Lord has given us there. Okay, now we'll go to some of the ones you know. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, and we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will hear Him from His holy heaven with the saving grace of His right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemy triumph over me. Yea, that none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Yea, that none that wait on Thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom then will I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, the temple of the Lord. Okay. Well, we've had a lot going on, obviously, this week in the news, so to speak. And of course, one of the things that's been, in my estimation, pretty gratifying has been the anti-abortion bills that have been signed into law in different states like Alabama. And some people have said, okay, you're going to make criminals out of women who have abortions. Actually, the laws, as I've read them, a little different. Mississippi has done this, and Missouri, the governor of Missouri. And it's actually interesting, they haven't all been Republican governors. Actually, a Democrat governor, I think it is, in Missouri signed it into law.
Louisiana,
that's right, in Louisiana, good point. Yeah, he's actually related to the way back people there in Louisiana, Edwards, Bell Edwards. And the bills, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't make the woman a criminal for having an abortion, but it makes the doctor performing it a criminal. Now, some people don't like the idea of that, but quite honestly, I believe that a doctor who has taken the Hippocratic Oath is a hypocrite when they do harm to human life, and we know that a baby in the womb is human life. So a pro-abortion judge blocks the heartbeat bill and kills children. A federal judge in Mississippi on Friday temporarily, notice I said temporarily, blocked a state law that bans abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected, which can be as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy. Now, Mississippi is one amongst a number of states that have passed new restrictions on abortion this year. And of course, this judge said, here we go again. U.S. District Judge Carlton Reeves wrote in his ruling that we've been here before, Reeves wrote, referencing a prior Mississippi abortion law which banned abortions after 15 weeks. Reeves blocked that bill in federal court last November, and he wrote Friday, the state responded by passing an even more restrictive bill. The new law, Reeves wrote, threatens immediate harm to women's rights, especially considering most women do not have abortion services until after 6 weeks. It prevents a woman's free choice, which is central to personal dignity and autonomy, and continued concluding this injury outweighs any interest the state might have in banning abortions after the detection of a fetal heartbeat. Now, Reeves heard arguments from the clinic and from state officials Tuesday. The law was scheduled to take effect July 1st. And of course, the real injury death is to the child, not the deceived mother's dignity. Legislatures make law, activist judges, innocent blood is on their hands. I think this is excellent news. First of all, we're seeing what judicial activism is wrong about. It's wrong in all cases. And here's a situation where the judge overturns a legislative act, an act of a legislative body. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And of course, the thing that I really appreciate is that, like there in Mississippi, okay, it got overturned once. So what do? They come back again with something stronger. And we got to keep that in mind, folks, about everything that we're fighting. And there's a lot of stuff to fight that they have to understand. We're taking a stance. We're marking a line in the sand, and we are not going to deviate from it. And you're not going to scare us off. You're not going to put us off. We're going to keep coming and keep coming until you get it right. That's very important. Now, in our Technocracy Today news, Michael and Joanne Shaw, who were early founders of the Freedom Movement. Today, there are many Americans fighting some aspect of Agenda 21, that's sustainable development, smart grid, councils of government, etc., but do not know how the resistance started in the first place. This special interview is with two of the early founders of the Freedom Movement, Michael and Joanne Shaw. They also discussed some other early founders as well, including, and I know all of these folks here, Henry Lamb, Dr. Michael Kaufman, and Dr. Stan Monteith. These few people made a pivotal difference by simply standing up in defense of liberty. This is an important trek down memory lane so we don't lose sight of where we came from and where we are headed. So people pay attention to that statement, very important. Police prepare to launch hex-wave body scanning on the public at large. As this technology falls into the hands of local police agencies, police state practices will be able to scan civilians without their permission or awareness to produce actionable items for intervention. This would be an egregious violation of the Fourth Amendment prohibiting illegal search and seizure. Now, I point out to you that it's egregious violation of the Fourth Amendment prohibiting illegal search and seizure. So people that say the Constitution, the Bill of Rights is old-fashioned, doesn't cover today because today has technology different. Well, it does cover that. And of course, it's important to point that out to people who are saying we got to get rid of our constitution, like with Article 5 constitutions or any of that kind of stuff. No, we don't. We just need to enforce it as it is and make sure the things that don't fit according to it have to go. The court. Cops can't stop and frisk armed citizens. Well, that's good news because I'm often armed myself. The Firearms Policy Coalition. I like these names that people come up with. They, you know, the idea of coalition. I'm just not here by myself. I'm part of a coalition. On Friday, issued a statement praising a ruling from the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court that overturned a precedent that allowed police to stop and frisk individuals based on the fact they were carrying a firearm, and thus presumably potentially dangerous. The court's ruling said the government may not target and seize specific individuals without any particular suspicion of wrongdoing, then force them to prove that they are not committing crimes. The case, which was Hicks' position, is supported by several amici curiae, including members of the Pennsylvania General Assembly, Firearms Owners Against Crime, the Firearms Policy Coalition, and the Firearms Policy Foundation. Hicks and Amici argue that the prior precedent is contrary to this court's precedent and to the general teachings of the Supreme Court of the United States Fourth Amendment jurisdiction. Hey! Amici further pointed out to numerous decisions of the courts of other states and federal appellate courts that have addressed the specific questions at issue here and which have held the mere possession of a concealed firearm provides no basis for an investigative detention, the opinion stated. Stop and frisk practices that harass gun owners who carry for lawful purposes, including self-defense, like the one at the core of this case, are unconstitutional, bad public policy, and dangerous, said FPC President Brandon Combs. We are thrilled that the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania agreed with these fundamental principles and issued such an incredibly positive decision in favor of constitutional rights. Now, I'm not going to read any further there in the interest of time, but it just says, once again, when we stand up and stand out and don't give up, we win. And of course, any time a court, even though the court is in Pennsylvania and so forth, that sets a precedent that can be used all over the country. So it's always good to win in court. As a lot of people say, don't bother going to court, they're all corrupt, all the judges are corrupt, and they're not going to do it. Well, that's not true. Many of them are corrupt, and many of them are going to stay corrupt, and some of them are on there for a long time, unfortunately, and are hard to remove, but there are many out there that aren't corrupt. And by God's grace, we find those. Well, today in my quips and quotes on this 2nd of June 2019, before we go to the Word of God, this nation will remain the land of the free only so long as it is the home of the brave. Elmer Davis said that, and of course, as we have just passed Memorial Day weekend, that's a very important statement, and I always like to remind people of that. As long as we remain, we'll be the land of the free only as long as we're the home of the brave. And folks, I am telling you, be of good courage, like Moses said to Joshua. And I'm telling you, be brave. And don't tell me you can't be brave and not of good courage, because with the Lord on your side, well, and you being on the Lord's side, you should be very brave. Thomas Jefferson described the Federalist Papers as the best commentary on the principles of government which ever was written. I had a Facebook friend who lives not far from here contact me saying, what can we do to bring a class action suit against all these different politicians and people are being mean to the president and whatever else. I said, being mean to the president is not a crime. But there are many things that can be done to bring, if you want to call it, a class action suit. And all of those things are contained in the Federalist Papers. In his Memorial Day address, May 31st, 1923, President Coolidge said, "Settlers came here from mixed motives. Generally defined, they were seeking a broader freedom. They were intent upon establishing a Christian commonwealth in accordance to the principle of self-government." It's been said that God sifted the nations that he might send choice grain into the wilderness. Is that America? Our obligations to our country never cease, but with our lives. Jesus, thy boundless love to me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare. Unite my thankful heart with thee, and reign without a rival here. No, let me read that again. I didn't get it right. Jesus, thy boundless love to me, no thought can reach, no tongue declare. Unite my thankful heart with thee, and reign without rival there. Paul Gerhardt, that was originally written in German. Paul Gerhardt was a Lutheran pastor. They say that freedom is never free, and that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. I think that applies not just to those in armed forces, but to all of us. Our government's number one priority is to protect the liberty of each citizen. But to make sure that remains the priority, we need to get involved. Hello? One of the most effective ways to get involved is to pay close attention to your city council. A fondness for power is implanted in most men, and it is natural to abuse it when acquired. Alexander Hamilton, 1775. And this is an interesting statement you can think about. They mark the paper, one higher moves the pen. Think about that. I'm not going to explain what it means to you, because it might mean something different to you. They mark the paper, one higher moves the pen. And courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point, and that was observed by writer and theologian C.S. Lewis, which I need to tell you, C.S. Lewis was at one time an atheist, and of course he was a soldier in the army in England, and the Lord changed his heart, as he can change the hearts of anybody, and C.S. Lewis changed from being one of the worst atheists to one of the best theologians. Wow, what a change. Just like, you know, others have had that same change. Charles Finney was one. They valiant for the truth. I want to be known as one is valiant for the truth. You know, we had that knight called Lord Valiant. Valiant for the truth. John Calvin stated, when God wants to judge a nation, think about this, folks, this is really going to get you. When God wants to judge a nation, he sends them wicked rulers. Yeah. What's happening in America today from the current administration concerning the Muslim invasion, as well as the illegals crossing the southern border, are subversive and treasonous. Read Article 3, Section 3, U.S. Constitution, 8 U.S. Code 1324. See, we can cite these examples and say that's why when people ask us, well, why is it so bad? I've had some people say, we shouldn't have any borders. We should let everybody in. Well, okay, then we've got to do away with all these sections of the Constitution and U.S. Code and everything else. And I don't want to do away with it. I hope you don't either. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Jonah 2:4. Let me read it again. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. And that is happening to a lot of people today, why they don't seem to be obtaining mercy from the Lord. It is for the American people to be the force of law under judgment. Isaiah 26:9 and 51:4. Starting with corrupt politicians, that is only found with those who truly love God, the people in this country enough to do so. Matthew 22:34-40. We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. Abraham Lincoln. It's amazing what these fellows said, isn't it? Fellows and ladies. The strength of the Constitution lies within the will of the people to defend it. Who said that? That sounds like one of the early founding fathers. No, actually it was Thomas Edison. The future of America depends upon it. And I'll let you fill in the blanks there. The judicial branch may truly be said to have neither force nor will, but merely judgment, and must ultimately depend upon the aid of the executive arm, even for the efficacy of its judgments. Alexander Hamilton, 1788. I must study politics and war, that our sons may have liberty to study mathematics and philosophy. Our sons ought to study mathematics and philosophy, geography, natural history, and naval architecture, navigation, commerce, and agriculture in order to give their children a right to study painting, poetry, music, architecture, statuary, tapestry, and porcelain. John Adams, 1780. But there's no such inherited legacy as Thomas Paine noted in his 1776 pamphlet, Common Sense. When we are planning for posterity, we ought to remember that virtue is not hereditary. Opinions must first fit what the authorities permit, and permits, licenses, and permissions determine what is allowed. And of course, I am one who has said, I don't need a permit to do this. The Constitution is my permit to do this. No, you do need to have a permit. I've only submitted to the permit process when the permit process did not curb me of my rights. And in some cases, for example, if I was going to have a gathering, I didn't mind getting a permit for the, not that I was getting a permit for the gathering, which I can get that because of the Constitution, but the permit showed the town that I was doing that in, they needed extra police protection and they need our direction for traffic and all those kind of things, which is reasonable. So we have to think about that. There's a cancer, and here's the cancer of multiculturalism and globalism that is destroying our nation. The 1725 English founder of Methodism, John Wesley, wrote in a letter, I can't think that when God sent us into the world, he had irreversibly decreed that we should be perpetually miserable in it. And that's why I've asked people, are you happy? Are you joyful? Because the Lord didn't send you into this world, as wicked as it is, to be miserable. And so if he sent us in this world and he doesn't want us to be miserable, how come there's so many miserable things going on? Well, there are, but that's not what we're going to be focusing on. We focus on those things the Lord is doing. And in the meanwhile, while we're doing that, a lot of the miserable stuff is going to be put down. The latent causes of faction are thus sown in the nature of man. James Madison, 1787, once again, as I've said, I don't always need the Bible to preach sin and corruption that's in the world. We are told, even by our founding father, James Madison, that these are the sin factors that are in people. It's sown in the nature of man. The sin of Adam is born in them. War is not the best engine for us to resort to. Nature has given us in our commerce, which is properly managed, will be better instrument for obliging the interested nations of Europe to treat us with justice. Thomas Jefferson, 1797. Weaponizing of education, transforming your children into immoral and ignorant globalists. That's one of the things I'll talk about on the movie that I'm going to be in, it looks like, about Agenda 21. The domestic-inspired insurgency is the most dangerous threat to our way of life because it seeks to remove the underpinnings of our society, which forms the basis for which we would defend ourselves from those who would seek to enslave and destroy us. You hear the word often enough, sustainable. When you hear that, a red flag should go off. a bell should ring in your head. No, 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 no. Now, why is this so encapsulated well by British philosopher G.K. Chesterton when he wrote, "The business of progressives is to go on making mistakes. The business of conservatives is to prevent mistakes from being corrected. Even when the revolutionist might himself repent of his revolution, the traditionalist is already defending it as part of his tradition." Think about that. That's a lot to think about. I've given you a lot to think about. And you're shaking your heads. But that's because that's a lot to think about. "He fulfills his promise in making our strength equal to our day. And every new trial gives us new proof how happy it is to be enabled to put our trust in him." Okay, don't remember anything else I said today so far. Remember that. He fulfills, meaning the Lord himself, fulfills his promise in making our strength equal to our day. So don't say you can't do it. Don't say you don't have the strength to do it. "And every new trial gives us new proof how happy it is to be enabled to put our trust in him." Yes, Lord, I am so thankful I can put my trust in you. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. The strength of a nation derives from the integrity of the home. Do you know there was Frederick Douglass, former slave, started his own newspaper, the North Star, because of fake news like the New York Times, which he refused to tell the truth about slavery. The motto of his liberating paper was, "Right is of no sex, truth is of no color, God is the father of us all, and we are all brethren." And to that I say, amen and amen. Few people made a pivotal difference by simply... A few people can make a pivotal difference by simply standing up in defense of liberty. Okay. And with that, now we will go to the scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Please turn with me in your Bibles to there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And Sean, how many verses are there in that chapter? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Timothy chapter 2.
15,
correct. We have four readers amongst us today, so how many shall each read?
Four.
Somebody has to read only three. That'll make 15, right? Can you do math in your head? We got to do math in our head. Okay, let's start with Sean. You start reading the first four, and we'll continue on going counterclockwise.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope." Is it first? No, wait, no.
Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Timothy chapter 2, New England Standard Version, verses 1 through 4. "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings of all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and will be pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth."
And continuing from the English Standard Version, verses 5 through 8. "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time.
For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. That was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 8.
And continuing on in the English Standard Version, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 from the English Standard Version.
Now, continuing on in the English Standard Version, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. And I have just read from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Well, for today's subject, I want to deal with the first three verses in particular. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, for 15 verses, that takes on a whole bite of some interesting things that a lot of people don't want to hear and would probably be glad to rip that page out of their Bibles or interpret it to mean something else. And of course, there have been many translations of the Bible that have come out that have tried to eliminate gender and eliminate all these kind of things that are there in the original manuscript. And that bothers a lot of people, but I will stay with the original manuscript teachings from Scripture, though it's even many Christian churches and many Christian people will thump me for it. And of course, the world obviously is not going to accept the Word of God, even no matter what translation you're using, probably. Even the most anemic translation of Scripture is not accepted by those who are lost. And as we had in our quips and quotes from Jonah, that many people are not receiving the mercies of the Lord, not because the Lord is merciful, because they have turned their back on His mercies and have brought upon themselves as reaping what they've sown. But Franklin Graham and some other leaders in the country, and regardless of what you feel about Franklin Graham or you don't, and that this is not an issue, or the other leaders that have called upon, but to pray specifically today for President Trump. And as I had a discussion with one of my doctors the other day, and he said, certainly he didn't vote for him, and he was making fun of Donald Trump. He said, yeah, I saw this little statue like a bubblehead, and, you know, with Trump and so forth and so on. And, you know, he's just a fool and he's this and that. I said, well, excuse me. Regardless of how you feel about him, I can understand. And I said, do you feel that way about Bernie Sanders? You know, he said, well, I didn't vote for him. I said, well, I didn't even ask him who he voted for. But the issue is whether you voted for him or you didn't is not the point. He is the president of this United States, of these United States. Whether you like him or you don't is not the point. Because the Lord has told us to pray for those that are in positions of authority. Okay, now how do we pray? There are things that this week that Donald Trump did, as best that I can figure out what he did and didn't do, and things about the lesbian, transgender, LGBTQ, and all this other stuff, and trying to make homosexuality not illegal anywhere in the world, and all these kind of things that I don't agree with for him. But I do agree with Franklin Graham, who said that this is probably the president who has had the most adversity against him of anyone. And I said the same thing to my doctor. I said, look, whether you like him or you don't, he's the president of the United States and he's got work to do. And he can't be always looking over his shoulder because they want to indict him for this and they want to impeach him for that. I said the same thing happened with Bill Clinton. I didn't agree with it then because Bill Clinton was the president of the United States 2 terms, right? They tried to impeach him and so forth. They wasted a lot of time. And while he was trying to cover up for Monica Lewinsky and everything, Americans died in Somalia and other places in the world because the president, the commander-in-chief, wasn't paying attention to his job because he was watching his back. He's not supposed to be doing that. And it's the same thing with Donald Trump. And I don't think any president has ever been attacked by the media as much as Donald Trump. Now the question is, and of course, regardless of what somebody believes or not about Donald Trump, did the Lord put him there? Would the Lord take a man like Donald Trump, who's had multiple marriages and affairs and all these kind of things, somebody that's so toiled and somebody so sinful, and make him the president of the United States? Well, if John Calvin is correct in his statement, the way the Lord judges nations is by giving them corrupt officials, well, then maybe that's why we're suffering from a lot of things. And what does that say we need to do? We need as a nation to repent, and there's many revival repentance movements going on right now and people gathering across the country. On Memorial Day, we took a short break to be able to pray on Memorial Day for those people who'd died in combat. And of course, Memorial Day is totally unique in the sense of Memorial Day is for those that have died in wars rather than those that have served, just like Veterans Day is for all military that have served. But the point is, Donald Trump may be real vain. He may be concerned about his hair and all that kind of stuff and whatever he's doing, but he has a very important job in the world today. Maybe more important than any president from, I think, maybe George Washington. I mean, all the presidents have had important things to do. George Washington had one of the most difficult presidencies, obviously, because the British were not happy with having lost the war and they didn't want to give up and they came back in 1812. Well, Donald Trump is facing a lot of things in North Korea with the deal with the Chinese, the border conflict, obviously some other things too that need to, Iran, you know, saber rattling, and the Russians have been spotted off the coast of California and fighter jets and everything else, so they're probing. So it's a time where the president doesn't need to have to worry about protecting his presidency from impeachment or any of those things. He needs to get to work and stay at work. And I will say one thing for him. He was on a military ship in Japan for Memorial Day, and I don't know where, you know, a lot of the other ones were on Memorial Day. So he has supported our troops that way, which he should. But the part of the scriptures here that I think we need to look at today concerning praying, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people. Okay? So this our blanket statement, if you will, our general statement. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. Okay? Now, if we were to break down those words, those 4 words, what they mean, you probably know more about thanksgiving than anything, but a lot of these words may seem a little strange to you, like, for example, supplications. A supplication is, just for lack of a better word, if you'll allow me to bring this in, it's almost like begging. Not like a, you know, when somebody's starving to death and they're begging for bread, something like that. That kind of, I mean, it's not, it's like a heartfelt, I'm starving, I really need some bread. Or I'm totally broke, I really need some money. And prayers, of course, what kind of prayers? There's all kind of prayers in the Bible. And we'll discuss that a little bit more in a minute. And intercessions. The word intercession, I love that word intercession. There's a group called the Intercessors for America. That we intercede between the people and the Lord. And of course, that almost sounds like it's out of scripture that we would intercede. Only Jesus can intercede for us. But the point is interceding for America, saying, okay, we're just not going to put up with all this stuff. We are going to go into supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. I am thankful for all our American people. I really am. America is a wonderful country. What? Did you say America is a wonderful country? Do you know all the history of our country? We had racism. They treated the Indians badly. They treated the blacks badly. And you are saying America is a wonderful country? I'm saying we did have a lot of those problems. What country in the world didn't do the same thing to other people? Where the British didn't treat the Indians in India well or something like that. These things happen all over the world. But we have resolved a lot of those problems successfully. And maybe some of them are still in the resolution process, that it takes that long to get over hard feelings that people have. I can tell you for me, I mean, watched a movie last night, and if you've never seen it, folks, as you're listening to me, not just the folks here with us today, but the folks listening by the internet and on our program, Flags of Our Fathers, produced by Clint Eastwood and Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg, you may not like him. I don't care for him in a lot of stuff, but he seems to show up in a lot of good stuff, a lot of good films. This film was excellent. Clint Eastwood actually did the music on it, and he directed it and produced it and so forth, his production company. Mal Paso Productions, and it was tremendous. And it explains a lot of the stuff we're going through today, why it happens, who does these things, who doesn't do these things. And it's pretty frustrating, but there are a lot of things that can be learned from it. Just want to give a little aside on that. It's worth getting and watching. So after, in verse 2, in what we're looking at here, 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 2, for kings and all who are in high positions. Okay, now we don't have a king in America, do we? And the answer is yes, we do. What do you mean we have a king in America? Yes, we do. Anyone that's ever heard me speak, and they'll be saying it several times tomorrow, I'm sure, we have a king in America. His name is Jesus. We'll have no other king but King Jesus. And there's a whole reason behind that. It's not totally religious or Christian. It's that because none of these earthly kings could be trusted with that kind of power. They'd all abused it. Is Donald Trump abusing some of his power? Of course he is. He's a sinful man like all of us. Now, has he totally been redeemed? He's also been probably the best president for religious freedom for Christians of any of the presidents in recent years too, believe it or not, even though he's not much of a Christian, can't recite scriptures the way a lot of them could. But the thing is he there because the Lord put him there? And I would say yes, because the Lord can put somebody there and he can change. So what are the things we should be praying for him? And how should we be praying for him? And of course, in praying for him, what is our objective? In praying for all those in high positions. Okay, what's a high position? If you're the dog catcher, it's a high position. There are positions that are higher than others. Obviously, the President of the United States is one of the highest positions in the world. The dog catcher in your local town is one of the lowest positions. But there's still positions that have some authority. So we pray for those people, and regardless of what level of authority that they have or where they are, we pray for them. And what are we praying for them and hoping to get as we're praying for them. And by the way, you go to work hoping for a paycheck? No, you're going to work expecting a paycheck. I had somebody tell me yesterday when I was on the phone with them, please remember this certain person is a notable person in our state house who's having some real serious health problems. And this representative that asked me to pray said, you know, you've got an in with the man upstairs. And I said, well, and people have said that to me before. And I said, well, thank you. I do believe I do. And it's not because anybody doesn't have access to the man upstairs, meaning God himself. We can all come under the blood of Jesus, with Jesus leading us to the throne of grace, and we can petition the Lord in prayer. But some of us don't know that. Some of us don't understand that. Some of us look at ourselves in a different way and we can't do it. And I would hope to pray and hope to believe for myself that I've been serving the Lord long enough. Lord, please hear my prayer. You know, I'm not talking in the reciting of a religious creed that says, okay, Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, hear my prayer. But that's not bad to say either. Lord, hear our prayers, please. We come in the name of Jesus. And what are we after? This is what we're after. That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Now, my question for you folks is this. Is that the life you want? Maybe it isn't. Maybe you want a life of stardom. And I asked my friend when I talked to him on Memorial Day that I hadn't talked to in 49 years. He was a psychologist, very busy psychologist. I asked him about that. I said, you know, you and I thought he had been a Presbyterian, and he said, no, he was actually Episcopal. I said, that's right. You and I were both bad boy Episcopals while we were in college. Didn't make any difference whether we were low Episcopal, high Episcopal or not. We were bad boys because we were doing what we weren't supposed to be doing according to God's word and his ways. Well, I always try to bring spiritual principles into my counseling. We didn't get to discuss at length what that meant. But I know he has great respect for the Buddhists in Thailand who told me that in Thailand, of course, all their buildings, their religious temples are all covered in real gold. And he said, you know that when one of the towers blew off and had all the gold was in the street and everything, and the people picked it up and brought it back to the temple, they dared not steal it. In America, with our good Christian republic, you know, would it be if we had gold fall from the sky that because it was on the steeple of a church or whatever? And by the way, the gold dome at the Capitol in New Hampshire is not real gold. It's gold paint. So it blows off. Don't try to collect it. It's not worth anything. But he admired those Buddhist people, and because it gave me an opportunity to bring Christianity. I said, well, of course, because they understand you reap what you sow. And they understood what is it worth to them to lose their soul for money. And I was just given a quick translation. So I want to, I hope you do too. I want to lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And so that means there are some things that I cannot do. Well, I can do them, but I shouldn't. I know there are people that are attacking lots of people in the state house, and of course, calling people dummies and calling them idiots and calling them all kind of names. I think it's important to keep in mind, and there are some groups of people in the world that I have not been particularly fond of, but I still need to pray for them. And the question is, and this is the crux of it all, okay, we're supposed to pray, but are we only supposed to pray for people we like? You cannot fulfill these scriptures if you pray for only the people you like. You have to pray for all people. And there are a lot of people, I have to tell you, I don't like them. But I'm always reminded by the Holy Spirit, excuse me, you may not like them and can understand why and what they're believing is wrong and so forth and so on, but they still are worthy of some respect because they were created in the image of God. Now, you may be able to say to a lesbian, a homosexual, abortionist, or whatever else, what you're doing is sinful and wrong. But I know you spent time in law school, you spent time in medical school, you spent time in this, you spent time to get elected to office or whatever it is, but what you're doing is biblically wrong. And you're not going to get away with it. But I pay you the respect that you're due because you were made in the image of God. You weren't made, and of course, the mayor of South Bend is trying to promote the fact that he was made a homosexual by God, the God that made him and created him, you know, or Trudeau in Canada that claims to be a Christian but is gaga over abortion. He kind of had his lunch eaten by Mike Pence the other day. So these people, we show them respect and show them respect of their office. We don't have to like them, but we need to pray for them, even if we don't like them. Because if we only prayed for the people we like, sometimes there have been days I wake up, I probably wouldn't even pray for myself because I don't like me. There are some days I don't like me. I don't like who I am, I don't like what I am, the way I did things, or whatever else. And the Lord has to remind me, no, you belong to me. And you pray as one, even if you don't like yourself today, you pray that you learn to like yourself. Because if you can't like yourself, you can't love yourself, you can't really like or love anyone else. And I'm not trying to get into some psychobabble here. I know a lot of Christians have nothing to do with James Dobson because he's a psychologist. And he's a graduate psychologist, and he actually was in medical school at Southern California University and whatever, but they don't like James Dobson because he's a psychologist. You can't mix psychology with Christianity. What do you mean you can't? The way some people do it, you can't. You know, I took two semesters of psychology in college. I took two semesters of philosophy and Eastern religions and a lot of stuff, and I didn't even have a clue what these things were about. But now I can say, who invented the human psyche? Because the word psychologist comes from psyche. Who invented it? Wasn't Sigmund Freud. He didn't invent it. You know, it wasn't Alfred Kinsey. He didn't invent it. The Lord invented the psyche in us. He gave us a brain. He gave us a mind. He gave us a heart. He's given us emotions. And he said, okay, I've given you all this, but I've given it to you to use the right way. He didn't give us automobiles so we could run over the people we don't like. That's a good example, huh? I don't like you. I run over the people I don't like. He didn't give us guns to kill the people we don't like and protect only the people we like. He didn't give us guns to commit murders. He gave us guns to protect ourselves and protect us from tyrants, and so we could stand up for liberty and not be peasants with pitchforks. Yeah. Well, I'm sure I could go on, and you probably have a lot of questions. But just to remind you, we don't pray only for the people we like. We pray for all people, whether we like them or we don't. And maybe the interesting thing is, and something is happening in me. For a long time, I really did not, and I have the freedom in our Constitution to only assemble with those of a like mind, so to speak, the freedom of assembly. That's why we have it. Nobody's forcing you to have to assemble with people you don't agree with. You know, we have Antifa, we had before that the Wall Street business, and those people, what they did, and they picketed me, and and defecated on the sidewalk and egged and scratched cars and did all kind of things. All these, to me, terrorist organizations that are out there. And I saw them march into the Boston Common when I was speaking there to picket me, and picket another person was there. They actually were going to kill one of the guys there. They were choking him. I had to break it up. And they were really well organized. And that was before Antifa and all these other things. So I could say, you know what? I won't be too strong and say, I really hate them. Because I can't hate them. I'm not supposed to hate them. I can hate what they do. And I do. I vehemently hate what they do and the disruption that they are to our country. And what they're against what our country believes in. But I pray for them. It was interesting, in that event that I'm mentioning way back then in Boston Common, I offered, they said, you're a homophobe. You know, you don't care about us. I said, yes, I do. I'll hug every one of you. Well, I'll have to get permission before I let you do that. And the girl came back to me. She was just a young girl, maybe 18-year-old lesbian. And she said, no, they don't want you to do that. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to pray for you. No, they don't want you to do that. So I just said, well, I'll do it anyway. And I raised my hands like this and I said, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And I started to cry. Please forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, where'd I ever hear that before? And I started to pray for them and pray over them. And I was weeping. And I said, oh, they're like children without a father because they don't know you. Wow. That brings some memories back. So we don't only pray for the people we like. We have to pray for the people we don't like. And we are not at liberty to be pleasing to the Lord and hate people. You can hate what they do. And you can hate it vehemently so much that you stand up against it. But how you stand up and how you're against things means a lot. There are a lot of people out there doing it and they're real proud of themselves for being very disrespectful. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm going to be respectful for people that I don't even agree with and whatever. And maybe, and this is the freedom of association that I never used to want to associate with them. Now I want to, because maybe Christ in me might touch them. Maybe me liking them, knowing that I'm diametrically opposed from their viewpoints, will make them ask the question, why are you being nice to me? Why are you telling me the truth in a nice way? And that's a hard thing to do when you get really emotional. I always tell people, hey, it doesn't take a whole lot for the Irish, Scot, and Italian in me to come out. Oh yeah, and the English and the Belgian too. They've got the history of doing some stuff. But the thing is, my ancestry is not what counts. It's the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit working in me, in you. Let him do his work. You don't have to help him. So when you're praying, pray as the Lord leads you. And we are taking some time in prayer today to pray for Donald Trump, the President of the United States of America. I'm praying, Lord, and we'll be praying more later, that Donald Trump will see the errors of his ways, that he will be a man of bravery and courage beyond what he's ever known in his life, and that he will do the right thing for the people of the United States of America, and the right thing especially for the King of America. The one that created this country, Jesus Christ, a shining city on the hill. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, for we will have no other king but King Jesus. Amen.